here, but God, you have blessed us so much every day. And Lord, there should not be a day that go by that we don't just take a moment or two and pause and ponder the blessings of the day and thank you for them. And Lord, it ought to start when we wake up, put our feet on the floor, and thank you for another day that we don't deserve. And God, I just pray as you give us those days, if you give us the opportunities, that we will be observant, that we'll be sensitive, that God, we will see this world through your eyes. May we stay in the moments. May we stay in the moment that you give us to be able to share Christ in those opportunities that arise. And God, as we study tonight, as we again get into the concept of the world around us, and Lord, I just pray as we do that we realize it, the importance. As Paul says, today is the day. And sometimes I think as Christians, we put back and put off, and it's coming, but not right now. And Lord, I just sense the urgency in Peter's voice, and I think there should be an urgency in ours that we share the gospel message. And God, we just thank you. We praise you for this time tonight. May it be glorifying to you in your son's name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and let Wendy play that video, and then we'll take a moment and just talk about it, and then we've got some scripture with it.
The Abrahamic family house. What they're saying is in theory, the unification of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Three separate buildings in unity as one. They will consist of a church, synagogue, and a mosque. And they'll all sit together as people from all over will come to learn about religious services, listen to Holy Scripture, and experience sacred rituals. Now, many sources mentioned that the Abrahamic family house would be completed in 2022. However, the official site is now stating 2023. See, whilst we are on this topic of the one world religion, there is the annual COP27 climate change conference, which is this year being held in Egypt. Now, interestingly enough, during the same week that COP27 will be held, on the 13th of November, we see a number of religious leaders heading to Mount Sinai for what they have named Returning to Sinai, and of which they say a prophetic call for climate justice and a ceremony of repentance will take place. Remember, Mount Sinai is the location where Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. Repentance for what, I hear you ask? Well, if you guessed climate change, then you would be correct. Their climate repentance ceremony will take place upon Mount Sinai on November the 13th. Now, if that wasn't taking things too far, they will also put forth a prophetic interreligious call to action. What does that mean? Well, they've named it climate justice, the 10 universal commandments. This just does not sound real, does it? In fact, it kind of sounds more like the sequel to a poorly created movie about climate justice. But this is real, and this is what they will be presenting. Of course, they can present whatever they wish, but this does not change the fact that God gave us the only true Ten Commandments, and no matter what man may do, they cannot change this. Their call for repentance and universal commandments is crossing a line, and only drawing us closer to the tribulation. So what are the goals of this event? Well, other than worshipping a false god, or even setting themselves up as a small g god and repenting for climate change, well, here's the list that they've given. To inspire and unleash the power of religions and religious leaders for climate actions. To motivate religious communities to curb climate change. To invite media to cover religious leaders and their advocacy in combating climate change, and to promote a coalition of religious leaders to work together for climate action. Oh, and to also generate new faith-inspired climate education materials for broad use. So in other words, they want to create new false teachings based upon climate change for broad use, or we could just say mass distribution. So how close are we to seeing the formation of a one world religion? It would seem that it may just be around the corner. The pieces of the puzzle are being arranged and soon will be put into place fully as one. What with the looming economic crash, war, rumors of war, the Jews claiming the Messiah has arrived, red heifers, temple plans, false teachings, various aspects of falling away within the church. Jesus told us, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I am looking up. I'm excited to hear that trumpet sound on that day and to know we are going home. As always, thank you for watching, and more importantly, continue to watch and pray. Maranatha.
Okay, as we see that, what are your questions, or what does that do into your thought process of your life, where we're at? Yeah, that's true. I think the church has become very lethargic in what we claim to believe. And I think that's one of the scary things that I see out of it, that we have become very lethargic. We believe this, and, you know, as church become more about just building up what we have, the address, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, I just really, I really think that we need to see the urgency of a lot of things going around our world. Anything else? The COP27 conference was a lot on the news, and all the world leaders came around, and it's all about the climate change. It's all getting together to try to save the world, the climate, and going green, and all of that. And so it wasn't that far away from where they were meeting in Egypt to where these religious leaders were going to Mount Sinai. I came across it. A gentleman asked me if I heard it, so I looked it up and I researched it, and this is what I found. I haven't seen it in the media as far as national. Of course, it's interesting what happened just prior to November 13th. What were we all doing? Midterm elections. So they get our minds off of what they're doing. And you go back and see, it's very interesting how they have done things simultaneously when other things in the world are going on, so that it's not as noticeable. And so I didn't see this on the news. I didn't pick it up off the news. That was on YouTube. So I encourage you to research it, look at it, and see where they're headed with all of it. But it's quite interesting. Yeah, and that's another, and again, where are the Christ followers' mindset today? Where is our purpose? And we get caught up in, you know, we're worried about the elections, worried about who's going to get in. You know, if the right person doesn't get in, we're in trouble. If they keep having and doing the decision they're doing, they're going to destroy us. Well, it's going to happen anyway. Don't matter who gets in there, because they're not God. And I don't know who to believe anymore. The only thing that, and I told this to a lot of people when I was doing my visits in the hospital, that until you have an absolute truth to stand on, you have no truth to listen to. And they're like, you know, of course, they're totally like whoosh, right over top of them. And that gives me an opportunity to, you know, and I'm waiting. You know, about 8 out of 10 would say, well, so where's your truth at? Thank you. Whew, and then I give it all to them. Give them double barrel. But, you know, we do live in a world where I think our mindset and our heart has been, and Satan's tactics. He just gets us busy. Gets us busy on different things, thinking different ideas, you know, worried about other stuff. And all along, all these things are happening. Now, I'll go out on a limb. I don't believe that verse in Jeremiah where if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then he will heal their land. That's for Israel. God is not going to heal this land. I do not believe. I believe children of God ought to get on their knees and pray for revival. I think we ought to pray that God gives us a reprieve from where we're headed to that we can see. But God has never promised to heal this land for us. He's only promised that he's going to destroy it with fire. And I am becoming a firm believer on global warming. Because we're getting so evil, we're getting closer to hell, and it's going to warm up. I don't believe in their definition of global warming, but I really believe we need to be looking around, and we need to understand that difference. So the Abraham, the house of Abraham, what does that speak to you? In the beginning of that video, there is a house of Abraham, and that house of Abraham is going to consist of three things. What are they? A church, okay? Mosque, temple, and a church. So in 2023, it's going to be completed where the tourists can come and everybody can come and watch them practice one world religion over in Egypt. Yeah, Hobby Dobby. So it's over the Middle East. And the heifers, the red heifers are there for sacrificing. It's going to be what we would consider legit as far as what they're showing. But the purpose and the reason behind it is that this is all, it's all the same. We worship one God. It's all the same. Because that is their father. Yeah, that's the father. Abraham is the seed of everything as far as the Jewish nation is concerned and of all the religion in that area. It all came from that. When Mount Sinai, when I saw a list of the individuals there, and I mean, there was all gamuts of religion were there. So it was actually, and there was Protestant pastors, preachers there. There was Catholics, Pope was there. There was all kind of different people there in the one world religion promoting that. And so it's being relatively accepted as the direction we're headed. And I don't know. It's one of those things that, yeah, we're not going to change that, but we can also see. And I'm not saying that the rapture is going to happen before 2023 when this opens up. But what I'm saying is the foundation is laid very clearly. And what else needs to take place? You know, and I think we could have said that 20 years ago, too. What else needs to take place? Because the foundation is laid. And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's things they're doing. They're also building another city. And the name escapes me. The long city down in the, I think it's down in Bangladesh area. But it's a very long linear city that they're creating. And everybody inside is going to be the elite of the elite. And down the tips of the end of the Saudi Arabians are building it. And it's not blocks, it's just 170 kilometers long. And it's all going to be green on the inside. There's a train that takes you wherever you want to go from one end to the next. And I think $550 billion is the last thing I seen that it was going to be built on. And they're building it. I mean, it's mirrored. If you see a picture of it, as you look into it, you see you. You don't see this. It's all mirror on the outside. And man actually thinks that they can do better than God. And they think they're going to outdo God and everything's going to be fine. And so they're offering hundreds of thousands of dollars for jobs because they only want the elite of the elite in there. They're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it in there, trust me. But this is what's going on around us. Now, we also know that what turf is center-focused in the end times. Jerusalem. Christ is going to come sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. So that area and that region, I should say, is they're building up to take away what God is going to come and be. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. Any other questions or comments on any of that? I just really found that, and I encourage you to research it, encourage you to study it. I haven't heard anything that has been a result of, other than they were going to rewrite the Ten Commandments on climate change and how we as a church needs to surround the climate change and be a part of it. And they're writing all those things that were listed there. And I don't know how that's going to come out and how that's going to play out. But it, to me, is just unbelievable. And again, we need to be looking up. Yes, because of what, how we have destroyed God's earth and how we have raped it of its natural economy of the oils and the gases and the burnings and just how we have destroyed the earth. So I don't know. Yeah. One of the humorous things that I saw was an electric car had ran out of juice. And so a gas-operated truck pulled a diesel-running generator charging the electric car. And so you just can't. I mean, it's just the lithium batteries, what are you going to do with them? They're more toxic than anything we put in any of our dumps now. And so I'm not saying that we're, I mean, I drove one of the Tulsa cars just because I could. Didn't own it, just drove it. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, boy, it takes a lot of power. You can go to 0 to 80 real quick. I tried, and it works. And but to take that mindset and put it into all of the things that are out there, it's just, it's getting us away from the purpose of why we're still here. And my mindset went back into Isaiah 6 when Isaiah was giving repentance for the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel was in their sins. And it's in my mind, this is what they're doing. They're gathering together and they're making restitution to God for mankind. Well, I'm not sure who gave them that authority to do that, but I know in the Old Testament, Isaiah did that because he was the prophet of the day. And we know how that turned out very well, because he said that he gave repentance for the nation and he wasn't even worthy. And then when the hot coals were put on his lips, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And I think that's where we need to be about this whole thing. You know, God, what can I do? You know, where can I go? What can I do to be a part of your cause, to your purpose? And so I think it's something that we need to be aware of. And obviously, that's why I wanted to show that this morning, because as false teachers are on hand in Peter's day, they're also obviously coming out of the woodwork all over the place. And Barry probably has seen more of that in the travels that he does across the seas and in Europe and other places. And that's probably one of the reasons why here I like to do things that sort of like rattle your comfort zone, shake your tree a little bit, because you get stuck in your little address and our little community. And as long as it doesn't bother my back pocket or bother me, I don't care about it. And that is the philosophy of the world we're living in. And we gotta change that, because there are many brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering because we're not really looking at the whole. We're looking at our immediate. And again, I think that's one of Satan's tactics as we look at that. And I think we need to be aware. I think we need to be careful. Any other comments or questions? Yes. Yeah. I don't know my thus far in my studies phrase. I think a lot of it goes with the realms of, and let me put it this way. When I'm in the hospital all the time and I've talked to all the kind of people, there are hundreds of people that believe in God. but there are very few that believe in Christ. And so when you go back into the Abraham world, there's God, and Christ isn't mentioned near as much. Prophesied in the Old Testament, absolutely. But the mindset is, you know, we serve one God. I hear that said to me all the time. Well, do you have a church? Yeah, I have a church. I'm a Protestant preacher. And what's amazing to me is that when people are hurting and people are at the end of the ropes and their loved one is lying there in the bed, actively dying, well, we're Catholic. We need a priest. I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not a priest. But I would love to pray with you. All right, you'll do. We just need somebody to connect to God. And I mean, it just, their understanding of that is, it just blows my mind away. And so the opportunities are there. And, you know, you can preach a good message in a 30-second prayer. And I do it every day. And when you have that opportunity, you know, they thank you and they look at you and then they wonder about where all that came from. And so, yeah, I think it's a realm of getting us under the realms of one God. We're all going to be okay. And they forget about Christ saying, I am the way, the only way, the truth and life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of people that like I said, that a lot of people believe that there is a God, and they believe in that God, but very few have a connection to that God. And that's Catholicism. That's religion against relationship. And so I think that mindset will be carried even greater, as to you just got to believe in God, you'll be all right. And they're missing the key ingredient. They're missing Christ. And so I think they're going to go that direction. But it's not new. Because turning your Bibles to Acts 28. We're going to real quick before we run out of too much time. We're going to look at this a little bit. Acts was the history book of the New Testament time. And Luke wrote it. And Paul was... Paul at the beginning of the book was a heathen. He was very intelligent. He was part of the Sadducees. He was a man who had a zest and a zeal to God. He was a man that I would look at as he believed in God but had no connection of Christ. When he was persecuting the church, he really truly believed he was doing right. He was doing the right thing because there was no way that this sect of people were going to come and they were going to teach something different. Because he was that zealous about living it correctly for God. And he had all the right mindset, but he had the wrong heart and purpose in it. Then, of course, we know God in Acts 9 got a hold of him. On the road to Damascus, he changed his everything. And so at that moment, when Paul's life was changed, he became just as zealous for the cause of Christ. And we also know that at the end of his life, as we go to the last chapter of Acts, Paul here is going up ahead of them again, going towards them. And again, we know that he claimed to go to Rome because he was a Roman citizen, and that was going to give him a little more time to plead his case. And he arrives in Rome in verse 16. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoner to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. It's interesting when you see that word was suffered to dwell. Understanding that concept, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier because he was a trusted prisoner. That almost sounds like we're going to really punish this guy and put him in isolation. Well, no, Paul was able to have a house arrest. He was able to be there with a prisoner a guard chained to him because he was a trusted prisoner. He was not one that they thought was a threat, was going to run or anything else, and we know that to be true of Paul. So he enters into Rome. He's there kept by himself. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our father, yet I was delivered a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Paul now is going to plead his case, and we're going to put this together as we go through this. But Paul now is going to say, first of all, he couldn't go to the synagogue. He couldn't go to them, so he summoned them to come to him, and they came. And the leaders came in verse 17, as the chief of the Jews came together, he begins to share with them some, the principles or the why that he is should not be a prisoner. He's being blamed for this. First of all, committed nothing against the people. Committed nothing against our fathers. Verse 18, the second thing, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. Second reason, he says, I don't know why I'm here. They should have let me go. 19 says, but when the Jews spake against unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. So the third thing was that who appealed to Caesar? It was the Jewish leaders appealed to Caesar. It was the Jewish, but when the Jews spake against him being free to Caesar, Caesar had no choice but to listen to the Jews. Now, as you see this unfolding in Paul's life, you don't see a whole lot of Christianity here. You don't see a lot of godliness in these leaders. And so we're coming again to the end of Acts. We're coming to the end of what we understand to be the history book of Acts, of the New Testament. And so basically he had to come to Caesar because they were accusing him. And then in 20 we have the fifth one listed there. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. For the hope of Israel. Paul still had a heart and he had a love for Israel. He wanted them to get it. He wanted them to understand. As he wanted them to understand, as he spoke to them, when he called them in there and he appealed to them, it's quite interesting because in verse 21 it says, and they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judah concerning thee, nor any of the brethren that came, showed, or spake any harm of thee. So their response is interesting, because their response to the leaders, basically, they said, well, we really haven't heard anything about this. Really? How could they have not heard about Paul, his ministry, and how the Christianity was just booming? Now, maybe they didn't hear all. Maybe they did. When I read this, they threw out, I was like, man, how could they not have known anything about what was going on? When it was such an uproar, such a ruckus, everywhere Paul went, they stoned him and they wanted to get him out. They wanted to put him into prison. And so everywhere he went, he was booted, he kicked out. He had unbelievable ministry of people who followed him to destroy him. Everywhere he went. So their response to me was interesting. Again, they have not received any letters. That's pretty much the only way they could communicate back in the day. But in verse 22 it says, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest for as concerning this sect. Basically, that concerning this sect was Christianity. We wanted to hear about what you thought about Christianity. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. Listen, what we're facing in our world is new. What we're seeing in our lives and what we're seeing in our world develop into with all that is going on, it's not new. They wanted to understand, they wanted to see what it was about, because everywhere it went, it was spoken against. And that really spoke to me, because we can talk about every God and we can talk about any God, but mention Jesus Christ and start talking about Jesus Christ and you can't. You're too preachy. You're proselytizing. You're coming against other religions. You cannot do that. I'm told that often in the realm in which I have a chaplaincy, that too preachy. Thank you for the compliment, even though it was not meant as one. Because when you go into a world that has to be tolerant and accepting of everything, which they're building the Abraham house to show that it's okay, it's only going to make it harder and make it worse. Because what that's going to do is set up what I think Paul was being set up here in the same realms. It's going to set up a mindset. It's going to set up a lifestyle of people that are going to say, well, you can't go against that. This is what it is. This is now the truth. They're writing the new 10. They're saying it's going to come from God. And they're going to say that these are now the 10 commandments. These are now the 10 things. And it's all about the climate. It's all about what we need to do to protect the world, to make sure there's something here. And so we look at that and we think how ludicrous man thinks that they can outplay the hand of God, and man thinks that they can run what God is only sustaining. And yet they do, and they live, and they continue to do that process. So it's not new. Verse 22 says, but we desire to hear of thee, again, about the Christianity. Verse 23 says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. You thought I was long-winded. Get the atmosphere that's going on. Put yourself at that lodging. Put yourself there. And it's, the first group came, and they wanted to hear about it. Then in 23, they had another appointment. They gave him another day. They gave him another opportunity. And the interesting thing about this is that many came to him. There was many more this time than there was the first time. And interesting enough, as we see this, again, those terms, the kingdom of God, basically it includes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You can't talk about the kingdom of God without talking about Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And so that all was a part of it. And as he talked about that, it was very significant. Some were convinced and some were not. As they stated that as he expounded, verse 24, some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. I'm convinced that no matter how much we tell, no matter how much we put it out there, there's going to be some that just don't going to believe it. There are some that are not going to get it. Some that are not going to understand it. Some that don't want it. And we can't worry about the results as much as we need to worry about getting the message out. Because the results belong to God. As Paul is here in prison speaking to these individuals, and they're coming to him wanting to know and understand, and yet they're walking away not believing him at all. And listen, we're living in a world where they're not believing anymore. They're not believing the truth of the Word of God. They're not believing that there is a God. Pastor after pastor after pastor I talk to, man, we got to try to get the young people in. We got to try to get the kids back to church. We got to try to bring the youth back into church. And I agree, because a lot of the kids have walked away from, because they're being indoctrinated by many of the state-run institutions and colleges about just believe in God. It's all good. It's all okay. They're not understanding. They're not hearing what I think is what Paul tried to tell them and what we try to tell our kids and to the younger generation. And to the seeker services, forget it. Seeker services don't work. You get them in here, you do all the hoopla, you do all the entertainment, you do all the stuff, and you get them in here, and that's what they want. And they don't change. They don't want the serve service. They just want the seeker service. I want you to entertain me. I want you to give me the warm and fuzzies so when I walk out of here, I feel good. And it's not about what they're singing or saying. It's about the fact they're being able to be uplifted by the music. And listen, talk to somebody who needs hearing aids. When the music quits, it's not fun no more. When you can't hear the stuff, it doesn't work. And it's a mindset. But what got me when I watched the video and I saw that was happening, and I, studying through this in Acts, realized that as Paul expounded on verse 23 and testified about the kingdom of God, He only persuaded a few. And even then, interesting, in that Greek word there, persuading, it's listed in a way of the imperfect tense, which simply means that it began to win. They weren't convinced. They were at least willing to sit and listen. So even those that the scriptures say they were persuaded, they weren't completely persuaded. They were beginning to see, beginning to understand, and maybe believe some of what Paul was saying. And again, in verse 24, some of them did. The result of what Paul did, some of them believed, some of them did not. And interesting enough, this disagreement between the Jewish leaders in Rome about the message was interesting. In verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto the fathers. And again, at that point, we know that Paul began to go back and he began to speak some of the things by Isaiah the prophet and begin to say and begin to talk about what they would understand to be true, what they would understand from Isaiah. And it's not new that we're living in a world where people are doing whatever they can to throw out the truth of the Word of God. Paul faced it. Isaiah faced it in the nation of Israel. And so, nothing new under the sun, right? According to Solomon. And we need to understand that this is not going to be new. When Paul began to quote in verse 26 out of Isaiah 6, saying, "Go unto the people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of the people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." That's a hard verse to swallow. I thought we studied in Peter, and God's not wanting any to perish. He wants them all to be saved. And what that verse tells me is that Paul, quoting from Isaiah, also understanding that the rejection of Christ is going to come to a point where they're not going to ever know the truth. God's not going to allow them. And that's hard for you and I to understand. That's hard for us to get. But when they're hearing, they will hear. They're not understanding. They're seeing, but they're not perceiving. Man, I'm telling you, we are living in that world today. They're just not getting it. They're just not seeing. They're just not hearing. And ministry is getting harder and harder and harder, simply because that's the world we're living in. And that's the reason we have the house. That's the reason we have religious leaders thinking that they could go and that they could, first of all, those who are not really teaching the truth of God any other time, but are going out into there in the leadership thinking they can pull together everybody for the cause of the climate change. And it really, really bothered me. Reading through this and understanding, verse 28 says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that it will, and that they will hear it." He could have taken a ball bat and hit them over the head with the Jewish leaders, because the Gentiles were not a part of their plan. Gentiles was not a part of the Jewish. We are the chosen. We are the Abrahamic seed. We are the ones. And yet, Paul said, no. You reject it. You're not hearing it. You're not seeing it. You're not getting it. And as you reject it, God's going to go elsewhere. I don't want God to go elsewhere because I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I don't want God to use someone else when I can be used. And I think in not only in the realms of them hearing the truth and getting it and understanding the truth, I think that goes to you and I. Because listen, when God said this person is going to be saved and he's going to put you right in front of them and you decide not to talk about it, you decide to change, the next person is going to get it. We're not going to change God's plan, are we? We're not going to change what God has in store. And by us being so busy, by us being so focused on surviving in this world I think we're missing many divine opportunities that God wants to use each of us in different places, different locations, for different reasons. And as we see that, Paul put that into a very good perspective in the closing of this history section, because he said it's going to the Gentiles. Paul 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbade him. They let him go. And interesting enough, we have no idea what happened after that. We know that Paul was not convicted there. Paul was not killed at that point. He was released. Probably went back into Asia Minor. Probably went back into where he was. And he was captured again. And then he was put to death. And at that point, the last time he was captured, he wrote the prison epistles. He wrote the encouraging letters to Timothy. He wrote the encouraging letter to Titus and Philemon and all those men. And so as we as we put this into perspective tonight, and again, throwing in that video and understanding what we're looking at tonight, listen, we're living in that same kind of a messed up world. But that doesn't mean that we should not still be sharing the gospel. We should still be out there doing what God asks us to do, because that's all he's required of us. He hasn't required us to make sure it happens. He's required for us to make sure it's told. And when we have our job, Paul continued, and even when they let him go, Paul dwelt, and it says in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. He stayed there 2 years. He was out there. He was still teaching and preaching. And my heart says, no matter what you see, as Flora said, you know, worried about the election and how good or bad and all that goes, you know, sometimes we get our minds focused on the wrong thing. No matter how bad our world gets, we still have a commission. We still have a great commission from God. And that's to simply be teaching the truth of the Word of God. And we have to keep that up. We have to keep doing that. So no matter how bad it looks, no matter how, I think the videos like that should get you excited, and it should show some expectancy. Again, you know, when you have an anticipated truth, it should have a changed life. It should allow you to say, you know what, I need to get busy. I need to do things, not so that God will give me, not so that God will do for me, but I just need to do them because God has asked me. And so to me, it challenges me. I trust it challenges you, as we see Paul living in that same concept, how the world just didn't want to listen. The world didn't have an understanding of it. And they wanted to go back into the old ways, just as they want to go back into the old sacrificial ways and doing things that, and again, we know that in the millennial reign, that in the tribulation times, they're going to go back into the sacrificing as they did it old. And for a while, it's going to work. And then the Antichrist will appear. And so it's interesting, challenging, scary, exciting. It's all of that stuff as you actually see some of this unfolding in before your eyes. So I have a phrase, I have it in my billboard. God, keep me in the moment with my eyes wide open. I pray that's what you do every day. God, keep me in the moment with my eyes wide open. Because God's about, and I know he wants to do many great things through all of us. But stay in the moment, your eyes wide open. That way God can use you where he places you. Any comments, questions on any of that tonight? Yes, sir. Moses and the nation of Israel. At that time they were. Well, that wasn't your question. They were given to Moses. They were given to the nation of Israel. Yeah. Right. I think the Ten Commandments are, yes, there are guidelines that we need to listen to. First five are against God, and the second five are against your neighbor. So they are standards, commandments, things that God expects of us, his children. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but that does not mean that the promises given to Israel are for us. or the promises given to the church are for Israel. I understand where you're coming from, but we're not going to be a part of the promises. The church age is not going to be here in the end times. So God is going to heal Israel. God is going to punish them first, and then he's going to go back and work with them and heal them. We're not going to be here for that. So there, yes, we are all part of the kingdom, but as with all of raising any children, they're different. And not everything that God has promised in his word to the nation of Israel is a promise for us. I'm not going to be here in the millennial reign, but yet he's promised 144 in there. Well, yeah, I understand. I'm here now, sure. I believe when we repent, absolutely, but I don't believe we're going to heal this land. No, and I don't think God's going either, because he's promised to destroy it, not heal it. When's the end? When is the end? Well, the end, we're working towards the end. It's already been destroyed by that time. Who cursed the earth? God did. God can do whatever he wants to do with the earth. So there are many things in the nation of Israel that aren't for us. Many promises throughout the Old Testament. Because if that is true, then why can't you say that we are Israel, or we replaced Israel? Why can't we be a part of Israel? Okay. Right? We're adopted into God's family. But we're adopted into God's family. I'm not adopted into Daniel's or to any of the 12 families. It's in God's family. Right. But I don't know. There's a difference between them. Israel only saved Jews are going to be raptured out. The rest of them are going to stay here. That promise isn't for them. So there's only promise for his saved church or his saved children. And who knows who all of those were in the Old Testament but God. Jim. Yeah, that's what they're portraying, that the 10 things they list out are going to be, basically what they're doing is the world is recruiting the religious sect of our world to promote their climate control change. That's what they're doing. And so they're wrapping it up in a gift wrap excuse and reason. Charlie?
But I read up on the ignorance of the word of God is a very dangerous situation. Natural man has no clue and no connection to people talking about. But one thing I read last year or so, Goebbels, I think he was one of Hitler's henchmen, one of the better ones. I think he was the leader of Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the statement, if you tell a lie once, it remains a lie. If you tell a lie a thousand times, it becomes true. Mm-hmm. And that's where these people over in Egypt and up in the house of Abraham get away with it.
Yeah. People are starting to believe a lie. Absolutely. Kim?
Of
they're not erasing the Ten Commandments that we have. They're going to Mount Sinai, praying that God give them 10 more commandments that deal with the climate, that deal with climate change, yeah. So I don't think they're going to try to replace them. They're just adding to them. Rodney? Sure. I didn't hear that. Oh, absolutely. From Adam and Eve. God meant it for good, created it good, and gave it over to man, and we messed it up ever since. Absolutely. Jim? Well, absolutely. I mean, how many men in our history have said, God has told me, and they've started the Mormons, and they've started the cults, and they've started, and thousands of people believe them. So, I mean, I could go with my own agenda and all of a sudden say, God told me, and people would listen. Unfortunately, people would listen. That's why Peter preached, beware. They sit among you. Be careful. And he preached it strong through that second letter that we studied. You got to be careful. So they're out there. They're out there. And you just got to be really careful. And now, the only way you know the counterfeit is to know the truth better. You know, be like a bank teller. They don't show you all the bad bills. They show you the good one. Memorize the right one, and then you'll know the bad one. And that's exactly what I think we're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. We know enough of the truth and all of the truth growing in. But how did Peter end his letter today? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in it. Stay in it. Study it. And then you're able to know the false and the errors that come our way. And as Charlie said, what's spiritual is for the spiritual. What's not is for the flesh. So therefore, they're not going to know the difference. And they get promised everything. They get promised easy. They get promised whatever. And under the names of whatever, they'll fall for it. Look how bad our world has gotten in the last 3 years, 4 years. Because people believe a lie. And they're still believing a lie. So it doesn't. All you got to do is cater to them. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Sue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been obviously an architectural deal has been going on for a long time, and it's come from there. I mean, obviously they got the money in order to build all these things, and it's come from them. But. Good question. OPEC. Satan, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. He's definitely the one in charge of the hearts of the men. Who the hearts of the men are, that's a whole hierarchy of people that I would probably venture to say that they are the money people of the world that try to control it all. I mean, look what happens when you say the wrong things on Facebook. This is no lie. I looked at its text and it said this content could be, I don't know, wrong, can't watch it, can't see it. And I opened it up anyway and it was a scripture verse. So those who have power will take whatever they can to carry their agenda. And when they're run by Satan, that's the agenda. Jim? Well, that's, I am convinced that if you are well liked and everybody wants to be your best friend, you're not doing something right. Because in a world in which we live, and if you want to live for the truth of the Word of God, you're going to have to go against the flow of religion. Man, there's a whole realm, and again, like Barry said, it's all under the mastermind of the greatest deceiver, and that's Satan. And he's still deceiving. He's taking the truth and giving a counter to that truth that looks so much, so close, but just not enough, not right. Absolutely. He's the father of all lies. Any other comments or questions on that? This is really a flow. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, it's a plan that has been laid a long, 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 long time ago. And we're just seeing some of the dots being connected because of social media, because of whatever. I mean, everything is more out in the open because of the technology we have today. But it's nothing new. It's just something new to us because we're able to see more of it. So, again, hope that stirs you. That stirs you that there's a Father's work to be done. And we need to be out there doing what He asks us to do continually. Absolutely. Anyone else?
7 years ago,
they went into the night. Yep.
I didn't buy a
nail today. Yeah. And, you know, it's a cycle. Our world goes into cycles, and they've proven that. So, again, when I jokingly say I believe in global warming because we're getting so evil, we're getting closer to hell, that's about the only definition of global warming that we have. And sad to say, you know. And again, it should stir us, should move us a little bit more than maybe what it used to. But there's a reason, there's a cause and a purpose that God has us wake up every morning, and that's to share the redemptive story the best way we can. Okay, this has been a good discussion tonight. Anybody else? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, I just am so grateful that even though the world could look at us and say, well, how do you know what you believe is right? And God, we don't have to prove You. We don't have to defend You because You've already defended Yourself. And God, I know that what I believe is true because of the change in my life and in my heart that can only happen and can only be a part of what You've done. And Father, I pray that You use us. I pray that in the world in which we live, and we have no idea how long You're going to tarry. When you study the New Testament and the apostles, they thought that in their time that they would see the Messiah come again and the kingdom would be established. And Father, I pray that as we realize that You are the author of time, You look at time through eternity while we look at time in minutes and hours. And God, I pray that we wake up every day and not worry about what tomorrow will hold, but be faithful and be found faithful in the day. And God, we just thank You for the study. We thank You for having a truth to rest on, a hope to cling to. And God, I just pray that You'll continue to use us tomorrow as we wake into the world in which we talk about tonight that needs to hear the truth so desperately. God, we just lift it all to You in Your Son's name. Amen. All righty, thank you.